Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Coming up, the government has been urged to make further moves to help people to deal with the rising cost of fuel. A second round of Leaving Cert examinations will take place almost immediately after the first exams as a contingency for those who have to miss their tests. The Dáil has heard that the families involved in the Brandon report want it published. And Gardaí are warning people using dating sites not to share personal information, such as location, and under no circumstances should anyone send money to an online match. Good evening. Oisin Kelly will be here too with all the latest in sport, while we'll also have Nuacht with Colm Ferriter following this bulletin. First in news though, the government has been urged to make further moves to help people to deal with the rising cost of fuel. A €500 million package of spending to curb inflation has been described as not good enough by the opposition. Every household will get a €200 electricity allowance from the government, and public transport fares are being cut by 20%. But People Before Profit TD Breed Smith says not enough has been done on energy prices.
But what they say they can't do is interfere with the market, but they've done it during the pandemic, didn't they, when they put a ban on all evictions and other measures that they took. But we need to cap the energy prices. We've seen the rate of profit from energy companies go through the roof in the last 2 years, and the fact that they keep increasing the price of electricity and gas is immoral, it's unacceptable, and the government should intervene to cap that.
Well, on today's 9 till noon show, the acting Cathaoirleach of Inishowe Municipal District, Councillor Nicholas Crossan, said the blanket approach does not recognise the changing circumstances faced by many people.
€200, it is a step, but it's a blanket approach. To some people, it'll make a big difference. To other people, it'll make very little difference to their life. But we haven't factored in is the non-essential essentials that we have now that we didn't have 25 years ago. We've got people working from home, and there's an extra cost in that. There's extra electricity, heating costs to be working from your own house. That has not been factored in, plus the fact of the price of the broadband.
A second round of Leaving Cert examinations will take place almost immediately after the first exams as a contingency for those who have to miss their tests. Minister for Education Norma Foley has today confirmed it will be available in limited circumstances. There has been concern about the decision to return to written exams with COVID case numbers still high and questions surrounding the reporting of clusters in schools across the country. Speaking earlier, Minister Foley says all students will be catered for.
There will be a second running of the Leaving Cert almost immediately after the completion of the first running. It is a contingency insofar as it is available in limited circumstances. If, for example, in unfortunate occasion if students, we'd say, would have a bereavement, they would be eligible for the second sitting. If there's a medical need, as defined by medical practitioners, that will happen. And equally so, if there is an instance of COVID, that will happen.
It almost feels as though the Housing Department has a vendetta against MICA homeowners. That's according to the PRO of the MICA Action Group, who has warned the patience of affected homeowners is wearing very thin, and he believes the department is intent on passing a redress scheme that comes at a significant cost to homeowners. Michael Doherty wrote to Housing Minister Dara O'Brien earlier this week, raising a number of issues. He says the ministerial response was disappointing but not surprising. Mr. Doherty has also not ruled out returning to the streets of Dublin.
We're disappointed but not surprised. The reality here is that there is no positive intent being shown towards the homeowners. And anything that we get, even by way of correspondence now, to every action is a reaction. There's meant to be what we would have thought would have been mature conversations where we could work hand in hand to try and deliver a proper scheme for the homeowners and one that was fair to the Exchequer. And that's what we were led to believe we were getting involved in. But it looks all the time more and more like the Housing Department are hell-bent on ensuring that whatever scheme they come up with will cost the homeowner the maximum possible that they can get away with. Time and time again, we're seeing where the Housing Department is almost feels like a vendetta against the defective concrete block homeowners at this stage. They scuppered what was the 30th of November enhanced announcement by putting in the sliding scale, at the 11th hour. And now what the minister claimed to be, and I believe he genuinely wanted an independent review, we have got the housing department fingerprints all over it again. And now in the letter, we've got a reaction that says, yes, after we have now raised the flag, they're now talking about involving the homeowners. It looks like the only time we could listen to is when we make the biggest amount of noise. And that biggest amount of noise could well involve back in Dublin, because I am not convinced that what we're seeing here now is going to get us what we need in the end. It's just completely unacceptable as it stands right now, and our patience is wearing very, very thin.
The Dáil has heard that families involved in the Brandon report want it published. Deputy Thomas Pringle was speaking as part of statements in the Dáil last night on a bill which would pave the way for a transfer of some responsibilities in terms of health to a different minister. Deputy Pringle raised concerns once again over the HSE's handling of the Brandon report, which detailed incidents of sexual abuse at Ard na Gréine and St Joseph's Community Hospital in Stranorlar. Deputy Pringle says how many ministers there are, the big issue is HSC accountability.
Unless we can deal with the HSE and in terms of kicking them up the arse or kicking them out the door and getting something else in place, then we're doing on hiding to nothing, I think, from here on in. So a very recent report, or example of this, as I say, is the Brandon report, which details multiple incidents of sexual abuse that took place at Ard na Gréine Court in Stranorlar, County Donegal. And the National Independent Review Panel was commissioned to carry out the report, on which was then submitted to the HSE in 2020. When you, Minister, had asked for a copy of the report in 2020, you were told that it was not possible and you would get it in due course. When the HSE provided you with a list of recommendations stemming from the Brandon report in April 2021, to ensure the recommendations were appropriate, I think you again asked for a copy of the report and you were again refused. And following this, you then continued to request a copy of the report. However, the HSE were not forthcoming and at one point thought that it would be enough just to show the report to you on the screen, as far as I know. And they actually did the same to me with a different report that actually had no bearing in relation to it. Because despite what we've been told, the families do want this report published, and that's vitally important. The HSE are saying they don't, the families do, and I know that for a fact. And I've been talking to many of these families regarding this. And I also know that some families have not even been contacted by the HSE who were involved, whose loved ones were involved in the Brandon report. And that's just despite what the HSE said. Whether they like it or not, we're accountable every 5 years. We can lose our job straight away. But what head of the HSE or what person involved in the HSE or probably in departments that they actually lose their jobs for doing things blatantly wrong?
The members of the first governing body of the New Atlantic Technological University, which will open its doors in April the 1st, have been announced today by the Higher Education Minister, Simon Harris. It follows the granting of technological university status to a consortium comprising of Letterkenny, Galway Mayo and Sligo Institutes of Technology. Donegal Deputy Joe McHugh says it's a significant step in the journey.
It's a positive next step. There's a lot of work going into this from the three university regions that will encompass the campus, but from day one, GMIT, Sligo and Letterkenny IT have been really, really proactive in getting it right, and I would like to acknowledge everybody involved who work now towards the full confirmation of university status on the 1st of April of this year.
Agriculture and Marine Minister Charlie McConnellogue met this morning with Donegal County Council's Fisheries Committee. Minister McConnellogue discussed the Seafood Sector Task Force report and said there was significant input from the county in coming up with the report's recommendations. However, Minister McConnellogue told the meeting that while the scheme is part of the response to Brexit, it's equally important that he fights at EU level for increased quota. Councillor Niamh Kennedy is chair of the Fisheries Committee. She says it was an important discussion.
He attended with his officials and also a member from BIM who gave a presentation on the Seafood Task Force and what they had been doing to date and where they had come to conclusions of what was required. Good choice of questions from the members of the committee from all over, from the islands, from the processing. And obviously the big question is, where are we going to get this money and where is the money going to be spent on the Brexit Adjustment Fund? I felt that it was a very good meeting today.
And good that he listened to what the industry reps and what the processing and the fishers reps themselves had to say. And it is important that he has that in his mind when these decisions are being made.
Correct. And you know, it was lovely because there was quite a mix of people there today, and it was nice to see them all back again, because sometimes it can be very hard to get so many people onto a committee. But I suppose once you mention that the minister is coming, you know, everybody would like to get their say in and for him to listen to what they have to say. So I felt it was very balanced today and absolutely well worth that conversation. And as you say, yes, he will be going back there with his colleagues, you know, with the realisation, you know, that we're here to do our best for our coastal communities and we want the best for our infrastructure. And he knows there's no mistake in what we need for going forward for the future of the fishing industry in Donegal.
Gar, they are warning people using dating sites not to share personal information such as location, and under no circumstances should anyone send money to an online match. Officers say one woman lost €90,000 to a scammer she thought she was in an online relationship with. Another woman thought she was talking to a well-known musician and sent him €26,000. Romance fraud has increased by 86% last year, and Detective Sergeant Michael Cryan explains how to spot a scammer.
They ask a lot of personal questions off the victim and supply very little information about themselves. They also, of course, always say the right things. Their aim is to build up trust with the victim, and they'll use terminology and words and language designed to win over the trust and also demonstrate that they're not a risk. They'll always put across that they're only interested in friendship.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure, Letterkenny. Cross the finish line in style with trainers from michaelmurphysports.ie.
Time for sport. We say good evening, Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Catherine. We start with international football. Republic of Ireland manager Béire Puigh has selected a 27-player squad for the first appearance in the Pinnacle Cup tournament. Two Donegal players have been included, Rangers midfielder Ciara Grant and Cologne striker Amber Barrett. Defender Megan Campbell returns to the squad for the first time since November 2020, where there's a first senior call-up for Ireland under-17 captain Abby Larkin. Ireland are guaranteed 3 games in Spain, with the first on Wednesday, February the 16th, against Poland. Liverpool could have Sadio Mane back for Sunday's Premier League trip to Burnley. The forward has returned to training today after helping Senegal win a first ever African Cup of Nations title. He scored the decisive penalty in the shootout win over Egypt. And the Tallaght Stadium tonight is the venue for the pre-season President's Cup, as the league champion Shamrock Rovers face the cup winner St Patrick's Athletic. That one kicks off at 8 o'clock. Also on the pitch tonight, there's a top of the table clash in the Premiership in the Irish League. The leaders Linfield go to second place Glentoran, just goal difference separating those two sides ahead of the weekend's action. And in the Championship tonight as well, Derrickview are taking on Newry City, and that game is a kickoff time of 8 o'clock. Well, the first of the four quarterfinals of the Northwest of Ulster Intermediate Cup is on tonight as well. The Dry Arch Park is the venue, with Bunnegie United taking on New Buildings, and it kicks off at 8 p.m. this evening. Now, with a week to go to the start of the new League of Ireland Premier Division season, Finn Harps play Longford Town in a pre-season tie tomorrow afternoon. They do, of course, then start their campaign this night week, next Friday, at home to Drogheda United. Harps manager Ollie Horgan has recruited around 10 new players for 2022. Among them is striker Yo-Yo Mata.
Can't wait to get going. I've been here now 3 weeks and looking forward to the season starting on Friday. Look, I'm gonna give it my all for Finn Harps, and this is my club now, and you know, I've no problems with that. I'm delighted to be here and I can't wait to show the fans what I'm about.
You score goals with whatever team you've been playing with, you know, and I mean, obviously Harps have lost a couple of players who were banging in the goals last season, but I'm sure, I mean, your ambition is to come in and fill their boots and bring goals to Harps.
Yeah, well, obviously there's big boots to fill with the three lads that were here last year who were scoring for fun, but, you know, I'm up for the challenge and, you know, I'm confident in my own ability that I can bring goals to.
And is confident he can bring goals to Finn Harps this year. Yoram Mata, one of the new signings. And we will have a League of Ireland Premier Division preview piece from both Derry City and Finn Harps this coming Sunday after 5 o'clock. If you're into your football, stay tuned to that. It's coming up later over the weekend. In Gaelic Games, Donegal manager Maxi Kern has named his first lineup for 2022 ahead of Saturday's Division 1A League opener against Galway and Ballybuffet. Mayo's Fiona McManaman is set to make her debut for her adopted county. The Donegal-based Garda is named in the half-back line. There's also first starts for Shauna McFadden at cornerback and Susie White at wing forward. The Donegal-Galway game at McCool Park throws in at 7:30 on Saturday evening, and it's live on TG Cahir. Galway, of course, being the visitors to the county in what is Donegal's only home group game in the competition, with trips to come away to Westmeath and Mayo. A win would seem vital for Donegal if they're to stay and progress in the division. Maxi Kern says they are at least targeting league semi-final at the start of the year.
You know, I mentioned Galway earlier, probably not going to be at full tilt in terms of their Kilcare and Clonburn players. And, you know, if they're not there, you're off to a good start. And, you know, everybody knows Mayo have 4 or 5 players in Australia playing Aussie rules. And, you know, Westmeath have had a couple of retirements. So, you know, if we don't manage to stay in Division 1, we'd be pretty hurt about it. And that'll be no one's fault but our own. So it's a big one on Saturday to get off with the 3 points. And winning your first game is massive in a group of 4 teams. So, yeah, look, it's a competition. You know, we know that probably the odds are pretty much in our favour at this point. So, you know, look, we would definitely have high hopes and intentions of making a semi-final anyway.
Maxi Kern is the Donegal Ladies play football on Saturday. The Donegal Senior Men Hurlers are out on Sunday as they look to make it back-to-back wins in their opening 2 games in Division 2B. After the victory last time out over London, Mickey McCann takes his side to Marchevic Park on Sunday afternoon to face Sligo. Danny Cullen, who's looking into an 18th season in a county jersey, says Sligo will be a tough challenge.
Well, in fairness to Sligo now, they've been playing at Christie Ring the last 3 years, which is, you know, it's no mean feat because they've stayed up there and they've been competitive. Like, so they're a very young team and they're probably moving in the right direction. Like, and, you know, we're kind of thinking the same about ourselves. Like, so it's just going to be a very, very difficult game for us. Like, and it's, you know, something probably we're looking forward to too. Like, we haven't really played them competitively now in the last couple of years. So we'll kind of see where both teams are at now. But look, we're expecting a very big challenge, like, especially down in Sligo. So just hopefully we're ready for it.
That game starts at 2 o'clock on Sunday. Live regular updates from that game here in Highland with Tom Comack and former Donegal player Colin Brannock. In rugby, Ireland's under-20s are in Provence for the Six Nations clash with France. Both sides posted big wins in the opening weekend of the tournament. Kickoff there is at 8. Simon Zeebo will make his 150th appearance for Munster tonight as they go to Glasgow. That game is in the United Rugby Championship. And there's a first start of the season for Dave Kearney with Leinster facing Edinburgh at the RDS. On the golf front, Graham McDowell and Seamus Power resume the Phoenix Open just before 8 p.m. Irish time, with McDowell in round 2 on 3 over, while Power is level. Siad Tangala and Adam Hadwin are the joint course leaders at 7 under at the moment. And finally, just staying with more golf, Jonathan Caudwell and Cormac Sharvin missing the cut by 3 shots at the Ras Al Khaimi Classic. Ryan Fox is the leader there by 3. He sits at 12 under. That is your sport for today on Highland. We'll have more for you tomorrow afternoon. Catherine.
Weather now, very windy overnight and strong, with gusty southerly winds reaching near gale force along the coasts and on higher ground. The rain will clear to blustery scattered showers later in the night. Overnight temperatures between 6 and 8 degrees. The closing headlines now, and the government has been urged to make further moves to help people to deal with the rising cost of fuel. A second round of Leaving Cert examinations will take place almost immediately after the first exams, as a contingency for those who have to miss their tests. It almost feels as though the Housing Department has a vendetta against MICA homeowners. That's according to the PRO of the MICA Action Group. And the Dáil has heard that the families involved in the Brandon report want it published. That's it for now. We're back with a further update for you at 6 p.m. Stand by. Colin Ferriter will be here with all the latest in Nuacht, and the obituary notices are to follow thereafter. Good evening.
Shewer Mahasa Colum Ferriter and Child on the Priefskelty. To Udras the Gilta, Egompera Ma, Stadia Fejerukta, a winning Latogra, Fonyov in at Nuacha. A Arbert or Huv de Hodgen Uderish or Emil Fark Gro Gidor. Major Larachus Falsiha or Huv and Uderish. Tasha Igesht, Torch Fui Frostes, Corlihan Publi, Salagarter Iritus Frege, Lahekad Planala Don Chonskadol. Chonaliu Okaj Olish, Corlihan of Publi in Auerchland Gidor, a rare, and our Kuru Planala. Planana August Leraji and Chonskadal are foiled on Fobble, Kumaila Curry Lahar, Enyol Tora, Loholas Arunt, August Keshna Aragert, Major Lish and Farberch. Ta Koshji Farberha, August Agriakti Achula, Parches and Chonskadal, Atala Farberch, Fui Homercha Udras Nigeltakta. Fogri Targowel Kenyu Genta, Egan Agriakta Glorning Ale, Branu Nashanta Dushina and Komortish Agru Erin Shale Ad the Varta, and Cade Okaj Branta Aves Agriha Eg Glornigail the Tree Liana Anuas, Durer Ratches Earl Lori Glornigail Owen McCormick, Engidor of Ranfer Na Dushina Nabliana, Erlua Oshion Shaska Vila Euros and Omla Eant. August is on the Ogrofar and Buachur Nashunta and Comortish Comai. Comai Lishin, Branford, and Radom are who should a wooey dushin that's the Comortish Fiha August Fiha, August Yavila, August an Ejag. Fograhar Buachuri dushin a Ranoga Egsula and Comortish Fiha Fiha Sahin, Garlista and Priv Buachura data atala Sokru. Darles and Ratches had had a leave in the omlanya heave glory yell, but tell you all the sir emakti and Jerry Shartanya foil go lua. August Rachtler, Ard Esh, Connor Nigelige and Austin, Kuhn Nagaljeva, Emliana, Ejerakuiga last fee, August a Sharta last fee, then Vishaw, a mask buil, Funchi, and na a Hardesha, Emliana, na Branu, Gradam, and Uktran, the Hodge Connor Nigelige, or Uktran the Herin, Bihaldi, O'Hagin.
The obituary notices for this Friday evening, the 11th of February. The death has taken place of Gertie Boyle, née Maguire, Falcarra. Her remains will repose at her late residence from 7 o'clock this evening, with Rosary nightly at 9 p.m. Funeral Mass on Sunday afternoon at 1:30 in St Finian's Church, Falcarra, with burial in the adjoining cemetery. House private to family and friends only, please, and on the morning of the funeral. The funeral mass can be viewed live on MCN Media or Sweeney Funeral Director's Facebook page. The death has taken place of Robert Joseph Bobby Hamilton. Funeral from his late home at 1:15 on Sunday afternoon, followed by a service of thanksgiving for his life at Christchurch Erne at 2:00, with burial afterwards in Erne Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers to cancer research and Christchurch Erne, care of any family member or William Key, funeral director. The death has taken place of Terence McNally, Castletown, Gagan, County Westmeath, formerly of Carolnaff, Moville. Terence's remains will arrive at St Pius X Church, Moville, this evening at 6:00 to repose overnight. Funeral Mass will take place tomorrow morning at 11, followed by burial in Ballybrack Graveyard. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on movilleparish.com. For more details, including any family health guidelines for wakes and funerals, please go to highlandradio.com.